And it is I, Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom filling in for the vacationing Ray Allen. Tom, it's good to see you on a day other than Friday. But just seeing you makes me think it's Friday, so.
Well, yeah, and we've done some Wednesdays before.
We have.
And Ray will be back tomorrow, so things will start getting back to normal.
Well, it's good to see you. It is the final day of May 31, May 31, 2017. You can join us on the Buckmaster Show live line anytime during the hour. Our number is 790-2040. That is the live line number, and perhaps you will have a question or comment for Dr. Mark Stegeman, member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board, who joins us now on the live line. Dr. Stegeman, how are you?
Very well. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. Congratulations to you. I understand you're a new daddy.
Yes, pretty new. 10 weeks today.
Oh, congratulations. Boy or a girl?
Boy.
Boy, well, congratulations to you.
Yep.
How are things going? It is. It must
be. It's part of our new program. If we can't hire a good superintendent, I'm growing my own.
I've been out of the loop a little while. As you know, I've been really not in touch with what's going on in the news. Give us an update on the search for a new superintendent at TUSD.
This is going slower than I expected, but I think it's going in a good direction. We hired, we voted unanimously to hire Nick Clement, former superintendent at Flooring Wells, to be our search consultant. And he's doing that for $8,000, which is a very reasonable fee, and much less than search firms charge. We voted to approve the text for an ad posting, which I think was just posted yesterday, so that anyone who's interested in being a TUSD superintendent can now apply. And then that will close at the end of June, and we'll have an external committee do a preliminary review of the applications, and then they will send a short list to the board.
How is the interim superintendent, Gabriel Trujillo, doing? He was he's actually on board, I guess, to the end of June.
Yes, and with the possibility, at this point, I would say the likelihood of being extended, since our current timetable, there's no way we'll have the search process done by then. Well, I think he's doing, it's a hard thing to walk into this position cold with all the stuff going on, and I think he's doing a reasonably good job. I think that the organizational culture is getting a little better, and that's one of our biggest problems. So I'd say on the whole, we voted for him unanimously, and I'm still glad I did.
Now, the public will have a chance to voice their opinion on what they would like to see as the leader, a new leader for TUSD.
Yes.
I do want to make those announcements. I just was informed of this today. The interactive sessions for the superintendent recruitment will be June the 8th. There are three sessions, 10 a.m. to noon, then a 1 to 3 in the afternoon session, and an evening session, 5 to 7, at Duffy Community Center. That's in their multi-purpose room, 5145 East 5th Street. Will the board be listening to what the public has to say, Dr. Stegeman?
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned those. So the ad has been posted, and so the board has expressed its priorities in the ad, but there will be a second step where we will express our priorities to the external review committee. And when they look at the applications, we're going to say, this is what we're looking for. And that could be a little bit different from the ad. I doubt it would be radically different, but it could be a little bit different. And at that point, we will definitely be looking at the public input.
Now, Dr. Sanchez, the past superintendent, his name was on the diplomas for the graduating TUSD folks. Was that just an economical situation where those signatures had been done before his separation from the district?
I think some had been done before and some were after. We got some information back about that. And I think the short version of that is that it was just them to have less of a hassle. And I think that probably should have come to the board for approval, since he wasn't actually the superintendent at that time. But I don't think it's a huge issue. I mean, in other words, if it had come to the board for approval, I suspect we would have said, sure, that's fine.
Now, in retrospect, do you think some mistakes were made, perhaps even on your part, in the way all of this was handled, the separation agreement with Dr. H.T. Sanchez?
Yes, I would. And here I am speaking only for myself and not for any of the other board members. I, in retrospect, would do it a little bit differently. I went into it thinking of it in the way we normally think of a personnel process, which is it's not a public process. It's an internal process, and that's to protect the organization and even more to protect the employee. You aren't usually doing personnel processes in public. But the way this unfolded, it became a public process, and there was a lot of discussion, and the board more or less said, we cannot discuss it, and so everyone else was discussing it except us. It did not go well. So I want to emphasize, I'm speaking only for myself. I think I would have just, at this point, looking back, I would have said we should have just voted to dismiss the superintendent for cause, set up a fair appeal process, and let that appeal process reach its just conclusion. I think that would have been a little clearer what was going on.
So you would have gone the route for cause, which could have cost the district a lot of money, though, right?
Well, and that's one reason we didn't. I mean, there were pros and cons to do it. And again, I don't want to. I'm only speaking for myself here. There are pros and cons to doing different things. And if we had dismissed for cause, then of course that does open up the possibility of lots of litigation, and that's the downside of that. But the litigation could have even cost more than the settlement agreement. So I think that was a reason for not going down that road. But the positive point about that would have been it would have been less mysterious, and people would have understood a little bit better what was going on.
Now, from my understanding, the separation agreement is, in effect, you had a gag order that you could not talk about the agreement. Are you breaking that agreement right now by talking with us about that?
Well, I'm talking here about the existence of the agreement, and I don't think the existence of the agreement has been widely discussed in the media. In fact, the whole agreement is a public record. It's been posted online.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I'm violating that. And when I've spoken about some of the terms, what I just say is as reported in the media. I think it was sort of silly to put that anything like that in the agreement when it's a public record.
Right.
So I'm not.
Now, I'm just curious, has Dr. Sanchez landed a new job, from what you understand?
I don't know. I'm not aware of it, but I'm not sure I would be aware of it. So I'm not sure of the answer to that question.
So where are we in this process? You think it's been, you're indicating that perhaps it could have been handled better, but by not...
Again, that's just me.
Again, okay, your personal opinion, and we respect that certainly, Dr. Stegeman. But what about filling some top administrative positions due to retirement? Is this saving the district, but is it a problem?
No, I think... The district is very top-heavy in administration, and I think that any way of measuring administrative costs confirms that. We spend about 11% on administration, as the Auditor General measures it, and among our peer districts, the highest number is about 9.5, and the average is about 8. Well, it's under 9, it's about 9, and the average is 8.5. So we are way out of line with our peer districts, and so I think the fact that some people are retiring and we're not refilling their positions is great, because we need to slim down, and it's usually better to slim down by retirements than by kicking people out.
By the way, one of our friends that is a regular listener to the program says that the termination order said that Dr. Sanchez could not be on TUSD property to talk to staff, but this particular individual claims that he was just last week. Do you have any recollection of that or any knowledge of that?
Well, it's no secret that he was, because he gave speeches at two of the high school commencements, at Mary Meredith and University High School, and that is a somewhat awkward situation, and I think that's still playing out, and I don't want to say much more about it.
So you have said that the district is top-heavy with administrators. You and board member Rachel Sedgwick are trying to change that, correct? But your effort initially failed. Where is it right now?
Right. So for several times over the past years, I've tried to get us to set targets for administrator spending, overall targets and instructional spending. And I thought this time with the new board, I might have the votes. And so we said that the district should spend at least 50% on instruction and at most 10% on administration, which would be an improvement from where we are, but still not nearly where our peer districts are. And somewhat to my surprise, we did not get that through. Mike Hicks, the board president, did not support it. But I think he might support something like that in the future. I think we're going to bring that back and try again. I think part of the problem was that because of the way the superintendent process played out, we were pretty late in the budget cycle,
mm-hmm.
and that makes it harder to make cuts. And so I think that might have been part of what happened. But we are, and I think the majority of the board is very determined over the next year to reduce administrative costs.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Dr. Stegman, please stick around. This gives you an opportunity for a few minutes to go feed the new baby while we take our break right here and tell our listeners about Green Things, my favorite place for everything green. I'll be over there looking for a rose plant for this weekend for sure. So Jan and Jack, I'm a coming. And Green Things is located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful 13-acre location filled with everything you need to fulfill your gardening dreams. Go to greenthingsaz.com. More on TUSD right after this. Excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek will join us, plus Comet Discoverer Dr. David Levy, and we'll talk to Pima County Transportation Director Priscilla Cornelio. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Well, 20 on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Stegman is with us, board member TUSD, the second largest school district in the state of Arizona. Dr. Stegman, what about a bond program to improve the situation at TUSD, perhaps in November? Is that a possibility?
They've been talking about that. The staff has been talking about that for a year, and there are legitimate needs. We did a lot of work on identifying those needs, and I would support such a bond at some point, but I'm not sure whether this November is the time, partly because there have been a couple tax increases already around, because it would be expensive to run that election, and I'm not sure we quite are at the point to having the credibility to pass it. But at some point in the near future, if things keep getting better, as I think they are, then I would support going out for a bond.
Well, the city just got a sales tax increase, so people are thinking about it. At some point, does TUSD need to raise taxes, though, to get a better district, in your opinion?
Well, there's two ways you raise taxes. One is with a bond,
right,
capital improvements, and one is with an override.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often said that if, when we get to the point where people have more confidence in us, then I would support an override if all of it was going into teacher compensation, and that's still my position. And I will support a bond when I think we can make a strong enough case and have a good chance of passing it. So I would support both of those things in the end, but I'm just doubtful about doing it this year.
Well, under Dr. H.D. Sanchez, he did move for the partial release from the court oversight in the desegregation case, which has been going on for decades. The judge flatly rejected that request, I believe, just recently, correct?
Yes, that's right. That was an initiative by Dr. Sanchez, and the idea was that this is a huge case and we could at least make it smaller. And there was some logic to that. I was sort of ambivalent about it at the time, but I can't say I opposed it. I was sort of ambivalent. Now that we went ahead, they filed for that. The plaintiffs objected. Most classes of plaintiffs objected. The Department of Justice objected. The special master objected. But everyone objected. The judge just said, forget it. And my viewpoint now is that we should let it rest for a while and try to make our case stronger before we go back there and go back to making such an appeal. But I've said many times that I visualize us being out within 3 years or so. I don't think we'll be under court oversight very long.
Before you know it, it will be back to school, and then there will be the issue about putting full-time teachers in the classroom and not relying so heavily on substitutes. So what can be done over the summer to try to change that?
Well, teacher vacancies is a huge issue for us. Of course, it's a huge issue for all the districts, and they all have a lot of turnover. I think for TUSD, it's been a harder issue. It's a more serious problem. I would like to see us increase pay for certain classes of teachers that are especially hard to hire, like special ed, math, and science. The board has not traditionally supported that approach, and I'm going to see whether there's support for that this year. I think making the Human Resources Department run a little better would help us with hiring, and I think cleaning up the discipline problems that we have in some schools, not all, but some, would help too. We lose quite a few teachers because they are tired of dealing with situations where students yell at them and push them and do lots of things with what seem to be minimal consequences.
So the whole discipline.
Sorry, Bill.
I was just going to say the whole disciplinary code needs to be re-examined, in your opinion.
Well, I think in just about everybody's opinion. And the staff has actually worked hard on this, and here I want to give the staff some credit. They've been working hard on this for months, and they have brought a draft to the board. Actually, they brought a draft, and they revised the draft. And there was a draft sitting out there, but I don't think anyone's quite satisfied with it. And so this is a huge issue, and I think we're collectively trying to figure out what to do. We need to have a code in place for the fall. I don't think defaulting back to what we had before is a good option, but I think the alternative that's on the table is not a good option either. So we have to figure this out, and we have to figure it out pretty fast.
What is
Go
ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say one of the problems here is there's a tension between what we have to do for the desegregation case and what I think we have to do to maintain a safe climate in schools. Because one of the sticky issues in the desegregation case is that several of the parties in the case strongly do not want students to be removed from the classroom. And many teachers would say that to maintain a good environment, teachers need to have that option. And so the whole question of when and how to do suspensions is one of the most difficult ones that we face, and satisfying the need for orderly environments and satisfying the needs of the Unitary Status Plan, which we absolutely must do. It's a narrow channel there, in my opinion, but we have to get through it.
Well, I believe that one of your issues with the new superintendent search is going to be somehow showing that the board is presenting one face and a unified board, which hasn't been the case in the past. So what is the relationship now with you, with the other board members?
Every board member might describe it differently. I think, and of course it's hard because I'm not watching the meetings. I'm in the middle of it, so I might not be the right one to judge how the meetings go. I think they're gradually getting a little bit better. I think we have a long way to go. I'm asking to have on the next agenda scheduling a board retreat, which I believe might help. It's something we've been talking about for months. But we have a ways to go. Now, on the search process, we've had several unanimous votes. We had one split vote on the language of the ad. There was one 4-1 vote. But even that, the differences were not great. And so based on the votes in that process, and we voted unanimously for the interim superintendent. So So based on those votes, I'm optimistic that maybe we can get to unanimous vote on a permanent superintendent and get off to a good start that way.
What has been the reaction to your request for a retreat?
Well, I just actually literally made that a couple days ago. And so what I've asked is that we put it on the board agenda for a discussion. I haven't made a specific proposal. I've just said, let's talk about it.
Right.
And so we'll see how people feel. Mike Hicks and I brought this up last summer, and there was skepticism from a couple of the other board members saying, well, you know, we're so messed up, this won't help. You know, and I don't think that's a good answer. I think we have to try to make it better. And so hopefully the board will come to some sort of consensus about it.
All right, Dr. Mark Stegeman, thank you very much.
Congratulations
on the new addition to your family, and as you start your family, really, and hope all the best for you. And is there another board meeting, or is the summer, are you taking the summer off, or what?
Oh, no, we don't take the summer off, and especially this summer with the superintendent search.
Right.
We will be in action, and the next current meeting is scheduled for June 13th.
Okay. And again, the public is invited to come out to that session to talk about the new superintendent. And I will quickly go over that that meeting. There are three sessions, morning, afternoon, and evening, over at Duffy Community Center, multipurpose room, 5145 East 5th Street. And that is June the 8th. It's an interactive session to talk about recruiting a new superintendent at TUSD. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. 12:30 now exactly on the Buckmaster Show. We'll talk politics after the mid-break. A young man who would like to be a United States congressman in CD2. We'll meet Billy Kovacs after the break. Stay with us. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show at about 12:34 on a midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, even though it kind of feels like a Tuesday because a lot of people were off on Monday. The race on the Democratic side for congressional district number 2, we keep hearing it's a crowded field, but so far, really very few have formally announced. And one of those is Billy Kovacs, a young man who wants to go to Washington. Billy joins us now. Mr. Kovacs, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and why you decided to take the plunge into politics. You're a young guy, certainly a millennial. Are you under 30?
I am 30.
You are 30.
As of now, yes.
Congratulations.
As of April, yes.
Okay, as of April. A 30-year-old guy who wants to really go to D.C. and I presume make a difference. Before we talk about your issues, give us a little background about, let our listeners know who you are.
Well, Bill, I've been in Southern Arizona since I was 15 and a half, and in that time, I've dedicated myself to the community in opening few small businesses. I've advocated for the university in retaining students within our Southern Arizona economy, and I've also opened a business in the Chiricahuas with my family, which we now run and operate. So I've been around for a while, but most of it has been on the ground, trying to solve problems every day with the people around me. So,
what is the family business?
We have a vineyard at the base of the Chiricahuas. So we started 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. We thought that Cochise County was a great place to live for my dad in retirement. Granted, he hasn't retired yet. And
so you're kind of helping run the business.
I am. My brother, my father, and I, along with my stepmother, all run the business together. So it's really a concerted effort to push a new economy here in Southern Arizona. You know, agriculture is a great way to spur economic development, and we saw that with the wine industry about 8 years ago. So we were a part of that first foundational members of the wine industry here, and we've stuck around and dedicated ourselves for the next, wine takes a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Dedicated ourselves for the next generation. So
you have to be patient to be a winemaker. Let's do a plug for your wine. What's the name of the wine?
It's called Sándor. So it's Hungarian. We named it after my great uncle Alex, who fought in the Hungarian Revolution.
Hmm. Okay.
And we're a Hungarian family.
How do you spell that?
Sándor.
Okay.
So it's family business through and through. We've been in agriculture in many ways for about over a century with both parts of my family. So,
do you come from a politically oriented family that has been active in politics?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I come
okay.
from a my dad was a union member up in Alaska,
okay.
and that's where I was born. And he moved us to Southern California to go to a top 10 public school, mm-hmm. So we can get a world class education. Then he moved himself back to the desert where he was actually raised. He was raised in Phoenix.
Was he a pipeline worker up on the North Slope?
Or? He was going to build the fence for the pipeline and then started a janitorial company and sold it.
Okay.
So big background.
So what was then the catalyst bringing folks up to date that what was the spark for you to decide to plunge into politics and go for Congress?
You know, I've had five or six steps in my adult life that have put me into a position where I can make change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from working on a state representative campaign in LD2 in 2014 to working on a Pima Community College Board campaign in 2016. You're on the ground. I've knocked 15,000 doors with myself and other candidates. And you really get a pulse of what people need here. You don't understand the issues unless you talk to a diverse group of people. And when you're knocking on doors, it's not just Democrats or Republicans. It's really everyone. And it's a broad range of people with many problems, many issues. And then you try to weed through that process and try to solve that with them, not for them.
What are they telling you? What are the issues as far as you're concerned, Billy Kovacs?
Well, you know, education. A lot of people are talking about healthcare right now, and I think education is on that level for us. Education in our country and even in southern Arizona, you know, it's the longest timeline to make a change. It's a 20-year timeline. We need to start thinking about not my generation, but the generation after me and my children's children. We need to build our educational infrastructure and to that our actual infrastructure in this state and make us a competitive force to be reckoned with.
Martha McSally, what specifically do you take issue with?
You know, I take, there's many issues.
Okay, give us a few.
I think people voted, this is a diverse district. You have a third Democrat, third Independent, third Republican. You saw in the last election and the one before that, that a lot of independents had shifted over to kind of her message being resounding for them. And that it hit a chord. I don't see that representation with her current policies and her current voting record with 100% of what Donald Trump is pushing from Washington and the executive leadership. You see her, one, campaigning against party politics, and then, you know, her vote and her voice have said through her voting record, I'm a party person, and I'm not a true representative of Southern Arizona.
What does this district need, in your opinion? What would be at the top of your list?
You know, talking to voters, education, once again, is mm-hmm. a huge issue. Healthcare, I think, you know, a lot of Democrats are pushing for Medicare for all.
A single payer system.
Correct.
Are you on board with that?
I am on board with that. I am also on board with taking concerted efforts every single step of the way to get there while we're pushing for single payer. So it's not just advocating for single payer, it's doing something about it day one, day two, day three, and then day 20, day 100, getting to that point where we can say, yes, we achieve single payer. Because right now people are adversely affected by this new AHCA. With some of the healthcare legislation that has come through, it affects people today. We can't wait for action in 6 months to 4 years to 8 years.
Do you think we're in like a healthcare limbo in this country?
I do. And, you know, that starts from the top. That starts from healthcare premiums. It starts with insurance companies. You know, it's a big ecosystem that we need to fix, and it's a large-scale problem. We need to take efforts today to affect that change, and I think, you know, we put together, myself and my campaign team, a way to get there.
What will the campaign entail? I imagine you say you've knocked on thousands of doors. I bet there are thousands more waiting to be knocked on.
Yeah. You know, we're going out in places in Cochise County that Democrats haven't been in 8 years.
Like?
We're going to Wilcox, and not just downtown Wilcox. We're going to the little tiny streets off of Haskell. You know, we're going to Sunsites. We're in the Sunsite Community Center last weekend. I was in Douglas with the mayor 3 weeks ago. We're on the border. We're not just going once. We're going twice. We're going five times. I'm going to knock on the doors of that district so many times that when they think that there's someone at the door, it's going to be me.
Hope you have a comfortable pair of shoes.
I do. I definitely do.
Billy Kovacs, thank you very much. It was nice meeting you. And folks should go, I guess, if they would like to learn more about you, to your website, correct?
Yes. It's right there on the screen for you.
Yes, I've got it. It is Kovacs, and that's K-O-V-A-C-S for Congress.com.
Thank you, Bill, for having me.
Thank you very much. Billy Kovacs. Up next, we'll be talking to the Buckmaster Show contributor on area history. Ken Scoville is next, right after this.
This is T. Van Hook, CEO of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. Are you or someone you know ready to purchase a safe, affordable home? We are currently seeking individuals and families to become the owners of new and refurbished homes in the greater Tucson area. At Habitat Tucson, we believe that everyone deserves a decent, affordable place to call home. For information, visit us at habitattucson.org or call us at 326-1217. Habitat Tucson is an equal housing opportunity provider.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. One of our fine contributors. We have two dozen folks that I'm very proud of. You can find at buckmastershow.com their bios and a little bit about them. They're great people, and they come on this program on a regular basis. One of them is our Buckmaster Show historian, Ken Scoville, who has been a local preservationist here and advocated for the preservation of historic buildings for many, many years in Tucson. And he also is very interested in history of our country. He has a book that will soon be released. It's called Historic Places of Our Republic. Ken, how are you?
Great, Bill.
Tell me a bit about this book that I have in front of me. How did this effort come about?
Well, most of my background is in public education, and I worked for all 30 years in different capacities for Amphitheater School District. And because I was involved in a gifted education program, I took kids out to historic places, cemetery research, all kinds of things. And I'm very aware of what we do for the teaching of United States history through K-12. But we're especially having almost non-existent instruction in kindergarten through fifth grade. So I just decided, because I've traveled the United States looking at historic places, why don't I put together a guide for elementary school teachers and parents where you use historic places all across the United States to teach the history. And make that possible, I'm addressing 21st century interests like mm-hmm. Google Earth and YouTube.
And this is basically a guidebook that gives not just for the teachers, but parents.
Parents,
correct?
Too, because there are a lot of people that homeschool. And also, one of the main features of this, and you know, when you work on a book for 6 or 7 years, there's lots of different directions. But every year from kindergarten through fifth grade, the first place the students stop is the National Mall in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And that they'll essentially learn all the locations on the National Mall and how they apply to our history wherever in the United States.
Some of these visual history that we have are really disappearing across the country, too.
To a certain extent, yeah. Most of the places that I've, and there are links and recommended other additional readings, but most everywhere we're going is managed by the National Park Service, historic sites all over the National Park Service. I don't think everybody realizes all the memorials, the park itself, and everything in the National Mall is all managed by the National Park Service.
And you've been to a lot of the national parks, haven't
oh,
you?
Oh, yes, and lots of historic. I've probably been to Washington, D.C. six times.
Have you taken school groups back to D.C.?
I've never done that.
Okay.
And that was part of the reason that, and my last chapter in the book is really trying to answer the question, and it's a theme running throughout the whole book, and it's one of those big global questions, so teachers that might be listening appreciate it. Why is the United States the nation it is today? What more than anything else defines the United States? And you could take lots of different directions to it. In fact, I'll put you on the spot, Bill. How would you answer that? Why is the United States the nation it is today?
Probably the diversity of people that we have in this country.
Okay, that would be part of it.
Yeah.
But the reason that and how I would answer that, and again, my book that I've written is very, very focused on citizenship and understanding our country and our great documents. When it gets down to everything, why the United States is the place it is, the nation it is today, is because of the charters of freedom,
mm-hmm.
the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, our friend Tom Fairbanks, my engineer producer, just put up on the screen, we have a unique Constitution. You are so right, Tom, and that's probably a good question, a good answer.
Right, and yeah. And another thing is, another theme in the book is all history is local.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that within our Constitution, it was spelled out that every state would have a representative democracy also. So there's an alignment through all of this of how we need to have a representative democracy everywhere in the country. And another big point of this is you can read about things, you can see pictures, but going to the place, and you know
right.
you travel around the world, going to those places,
oh my goodness.
It's a tremendously different impact. And part of the book focuses that the kids are going to develop a cognitive map, that they're going to know where all these places are. And by the time they're in fourth grade, if they're listening to TV and it goes, from the White House tonight, they'll know exactly where that place is.
Well, I recall as a kid, Mom and Dad took me to D.C. numerous times from the Chicago area because my dad was in the Naval Reserve and had to do some time at the Pentagon a couple of weeks every summer. So from Chicago to D.C., we got so we would go to Gettysburg. We would stop at in Virginia at all the Civil War battlefields. I remember tromping around what at that time in the late 50s, there were still trenches that had been covered over at a place called the Wilderness in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I just developed this love of history, especially Civil War history. So I think the point is, as a young person exposed, and especially if you can get to some of these parks, you're going to, it will certainly pique the child's interest.
And just imagine, and I don't know how much you've played with Google Earth or not, but you can show flying from Tucson, and then you'll go all across the United States, and you'll land right at the Washington Monument in the middle of the mall. Mm. And for students to realize, this is a real place.
That's right.
And then they can see with Lincoln Memorial, where the three branches of our government, all the other. And the other focus on this, all those memorials have words attached to them. Martin mm-hmm. Luther King, Lincoln, all of this. So I want students to become literate. That's part of the main goal of education is literacy. What are the, be able to understand those words, and what do you think they mean to you yourself, so that they can get a, so we can make our own decisions about how we think we should proceed with the country.
Is history being, what to what extent locally is history, United States history, being taught in this area that you're focusing on, kindergarten through fifth grade?
Well, part of what I did, and this is a teacher thing again, two of my chapters are dedicated to standards, content standards related to districts all across the United States. I must have looked at 20 different state standards. And then I picked California because I thought they were a real good boilerplate to use from. But what's happening right now, and part of the reason I wrote this book, it is very sporadic and hardly anything done in kindergarten through fifth grade. They sometimes do something for President's Day or Martin Luther King Day, but not a consistent curriculum. So I've designed this for teachers to be all the way K-5 and aligning through it.
Well, it's I shouldn't say it's surprising because of budget cuts and everything, but it really seems to be dropping the ball by not telling kids about United States history at an early age.
And I think part of the reason, this little soapbox, is part of the reason we're having all the issues today is because students didn't get good foundational work along the way, especially kindergarten through fifth grade. Great, because kids are excited to learn at that time. Mm-hmm. You just have to bring them into something real. That's why the whole book starts from the present, then goes to the past. What do we can we see today and get curious about to then want to find out what happened there?
Well, I recall, and I think my fine friend Tom across the glass remembers this as well, we would start the school day with a Pledge of Allegiance. And somewhere along the line, that went away, right?
Well, a lot of districts...
Do they still do it?
Some do, okay. Some don't.
All right.
But I actually, you know, I've spent a lot of time on this. I address the Pledge of Allegiance and want the students by fifth grade to know those words and how they align to different events in United States history. Mm-hmm. When they say the word republic, they'll know a representative democracy. They'll know where Independence Hall is. They'll know where the Charters of Freedom are. They'll even know, and maybe most people don't realize, every day the charters go down this elevator into this concrete line protection that can survive almost a direct nuclear attack.
Wow. I did not know that.
Oh, yes.
That.
Every day it goes down that. So if they nuke all of Washington, D.C., those charters will still be there.
And there always is this confusion. The Constitution, the document itself, I understand, never really mentions the word democracy. It talks about a republic.
Right. And, yeah. And we people use the word democracy yes. a lot, but it's really a representative democracy or a republic. Mm-hmm. And I think another key issue, and one I bring up in the book, is the ongoing debate from the beginning at the convention, how much government do we want in our lives and at what level? Mm-hmm. And every time I hear everybody fighting about it today, I think, well, George and the gang, they would just say, we're glad you're still talking about mm-hmm. this.
And we need to be talking about it, certainly in school. And you mentioned, again, homeschooling. That's very important. So this book would help the parents that
yes,
are doing
I
that.
Yes, I try to set this up because, obviously, if I dare try and be a businessman a little bit, mm-hmm. there's a huge homeschooling business. So I've tried to craft it for both markets, public school, charter school, and homeschoolers. And how much fun YouTube is to take kids anywhere. And then the YouTube videos where they're interviewing a ranger about this. And just like instead of just addressing who was our first president, the bigger, more important question, why was he our first president? Mm-hmm. And so they visit all these locations, go to Mount Vernon, all this. They'll know from their map they've worked on for years where all these locations are, and hopefully they'll want to go see it.
How are you marketing this? As you say, you're not a businessman. Well, you are now.
I am now. It's going to be on Amazon.
Okay.
And for people that want to self-publish, Amazon is a wonderful venture. Mm-hmm. I'm a novice at all this, so I had to get a cover designer, a layout designer, an indexer. Do you know certain people that just specialize in doing indexes?
Wow.
So I did all this, and it's going to be on Amazon, I would say, middle of June. I've added a few last tweaks, but I would say middle of June.
And folks can just put the name of the book, Historic Places of Our Republic. Ken Scoville is the author, Scoville, and it will be up on Amazon Prime very soon. Right?
Right, and I priced it very affordably at $14.95.
Okay, good deal. Ken Scoville, thank you very much. Congratulations on this effort. It's been, five or six years?
Even longer than that, but... Last four years, really hard.
We've been doing the radio show, and we're now, like, I think in our seventh year, but it's like every time I talk with you, well, I got to continue hammering away at the book. So the book is finally finished.
Yes, it's a character builder.
Congratulations. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Ken Scoville, author of Historic Places of the Republic. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw, and you're going to be engineering producing that show as well, right, Tom Fairbanks?
Yes, we're going to be talking about blowing air in and out of the windows of your home.
Blowing air in and out.
Some kind of a gadget that does that for you.
Okay, great. Also, tomorrow morning, waking up with Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of Tom Fairbanks. He'll be getting his air all straight right there, Tom. Okay, have a great afternoon and evening.